From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Invitation to Pray. The text is Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God encourages us to pray. They tell us that prayer is a pious exercise which has no influence except upon the mind engaged in it. We know better. Our experience gives the lie 1,000 times over to this infidel assertion. Here Jehovah, the living God, distinctly promises to answer the prayer of His servant. Let us call upon Him again, and admit no doubt upon the question of His hearing us and answering us. He that made the ear, shall He not hear? He that gave parents a love to their children, will He not listen to the cries of His own sons and daughters? God will answer His pleading people in their anguish. He has wonders in store for them. What they have never seen, heard of, or dreamed of, He will do for them. He will invent new blessings if needful. He will ransack sea and land to feed them. He will send every angel out of heaven to succor them if their distress requires it. He will astound us with His grace and make us feel that it was never before done in this fashion. All He asks of us is that we will call upon Him. He cannot ask less of us. Let us cheerfully render Him our prayers at once.
Steps guide. Give us.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubts, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's program, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Perverting the Privileges of God's Grace, part of these studies in the book of Romans. In verses 17 through 29 of Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul explained the privileges enjoyed by the people of Israel. Yet, he also shows how Israel abused those privileges, for they came to regard outward religious observance as equal with acceptance by God, ignoring the righteousness which alone could give them a right standing before God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Although they knew the truth of God in their heads, they had no heart experience of Christ, without which no man can be saved. Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 9, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Mere intellectual assent to the gospel is not enough. In addition, the Jews' reliance on the law alone for salvation affected those around them, producing a deadly attitude of self-confidence. Hypocrisy in religion is a dangerous and destructive thing. Rather than God giving the law as a means of salvation, He gave it in order to show men their sin and to drive them to Christ. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, perverting the privileges of God's grace.
Paul is criticizing these people for perverting grace by reliance on the law without righteousness. It's amazing the views that the Jews held, but no more amazing when you think of some of the things that are held in Christendom today. Charles Hodge quoted from some of the ancient Jewish authorities with views like these: our rabbins have said no circumcised soul will see hell. No circumcised man will see hell. Again, circumcision saves from hell. Another Jewish authority: God swore to Abraham that no one who was circumcised should be sent to hell. And yet another: Abraham sits at the gate of hell and does not allow that any circumcised Israelite should enter there. These were the views that Paul was combating. There was a reliance on the law and its ritual, but there was no righteousness of life. Now cast your mind back over what we were considering in weeks past, where the emphasis would be on God judging every man according to his works. Men are not saved by works. I took time to try and point out how Paul was very careful in his language. When he speaks of works producing anything, it's condemnation. Men are not saved by their works. But understand this, if men are saved by grace through faith, God's Holy Spirit will produce works of holiness in their lives. Works of genuine righteousness. And while it is true that you are saved by faith without works, you will never go to heaven if there are no works that prove the genuine reality of saving grace. These people had a system, but they had no Savior. They had no salvation. These people had the externals, but nothing in the internals. Thus they were boasting in God, but there was no basis for their boasting. There was confidence, but there was no basis for their confidence. There was presumption. If there's one thing that I believe, that I detect, and it's a very widespread spiritual malady, there's one thing I believe that I detect today in church after church after church, it is the sin of presumption. It is amazing when you see people who can glibly tell you they're Christian, they're going to heaven. They can just slough off any gospel witness that's given to them. They put up the defense just as these Jews did. They have all the privileges, and they pervert those privileges to bask in the light that they have, even though it has produced no light in their lives. Men and women, I'm here to tell you tonight, faith is not presumption, and presumption is not faith. Faith will lament how little we love and serve the Lord, but faith will always lead us to Christ, to a total commitment of ourselves to Him and confidence only in His precious blood, with a yearning to please Him and to serve Him. Presumption uses the promises of grace as a cloak for maliciousness, selfishness, and sin, to give us the confidence of the godly while we live ungodly. That's presumption. That's the perversion of the privileges that God has given. You see that Paul here gives us an insight into the products of this perversion of the privileges of grace. Time does not allow me to go into it in detail, and I don't want to come back to it a second week because though we're making some progress, I have a long way to go in the time available to me to get through this book. What I'm saying here is, when people individually pervert the privileges that God gives them by placing them in association with His church and with the preaching of His truth, they not only destroy their own souls, but they have effects that ripple and keep on rippling to curse the souls of others. Watch it carefully, verses 18 through 20. It says he starts with themselves. First product is a sinful self-confidence. Sinful self-confidence. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I want to tell you this is something that haunts me. I know what it is to battle lack of assurance. I know what it is to have no confidence and to swing between certainty and no certainty until I felt I was losing my senses. I know what it is to be brought to confidence in Christ and the assurance of His Word. But one thing that haunts me is this: I am going to stand before God very soon. And so are you. So are you. It's very easy for me to address people who profess to be Christians and just accept you all are Christians without ever doing the hard work that Paul was doing here of seeking to penetrate to the depths of the heart and to show that if you have the name but not the nature, the possession of God's Word but not the performance of it, a reliance on God's law but not the righteousness of it, you're boasting in God but without a basis, then your confidence itself is sin. You read this: you rest in the law. Can you see that? Here are people with the sword of God's judgment according to His law suspended over their head, and they are resting in the very law that is going to damn them to the deepest hell. They're resting in the law. You talk about sleeping on the edge of a volcano. You talk about going to sleep when you're in urgent and terrible danger. You're resting, untroubled in conscience. You know, I'll let you into a secret. And this is one thing, in some ways I would like to avoid. In other ways I can see the wisdom of God in allowing it. When I preach a message like this, almost every soul that's disturbed is a genuinely saved soul. And all around him sit people within a heartbeat of hell. And such is their sinful self-confidence, they're unfazed, unmoved, and uncaring. But as I said, this effect goes beyond the person. And in verses 21 to 23, he speaks of the horrible hypocrisy. He says, you teach another, but you don't teach yourself. But see what this does to the other. The hypocrisy of life has an influence and an effect upon the people with whom these Jews are interacting. You're teaching them. You're saying one thing, but you're living another. I've often in this pulpit told you how that was brought home to my heart as a very young fellow. Without giving much of my biography tonight, it's not particularly interesting, and it certainly doesn't, we don't have time. I was supposed to go to college to train as a school teacher. It's sort of a different system we had over there. But I was to go to this place to train as a school teacher. God had mercy on the school children and diverted me from that. It left me for a while to having to do something else before I came in to study for the ministry. Not that I at that time had any thought of studying for the ministry. So, trembling, very much afraid, I went to work in the office of, actually it was a branch office of the largest insurance brokerage in the world. Very prestigious firm with a very, very humble junior clerk. Clerk, as you would call them. And I was scared. But I went into that office with a vow. I said, Lord, as soon as I get the chance, I am going to nail my colors to the mast, and I am going to take my stand for God as a Christian. And that came around, and the Lord helped me to do that. A lot of girls in the place. I was more afraid of them than I was of anybody else. They were very scary creatures. They still are, believe me. I'd rather fight with a man any day than fight with his wife. And she's laughing at that, but it's true. There was one particularly scary creature there. She was loved by all the men, and she was hated by all the women, or most of the women, because she was one of the most beautiful girls in all of Northern Ireland. She was literally the poster girl for a very locally very famous gymnasium. Gymnasium that produced one of our country's few gold medalists at the Olympic Games. So she was cattily described, shall I say, by some of the other young ladies. I have to be honest, I never had the slightest interest in her except to win her soul for Christ. But she was hard to talk to. She hated religion, and she hated God, and she said, I am an atheist. But the Lord opened the door, and I got to talk to her. And as I was speaking to her, the son of one of our directors, who had a very real interest in her, a forlorn hope, mind you, but he had a real interest, he saw she was willing to stand talk to me, quotes about religion, so he started talking religious as well. I will never forget that scene. She wheeled on him like a tigress, and she blazed the words. Her eyes were aflame and her words were as hot as coals. She said, you are just a dirty little hypocrite. And it's people like you who have people like me the way we are. When all the other filth is going on in the office, you're there. But once you see him talking to me about religion, then you can talk religion. You're just a hypocrite. Man, was I glad that though far from perfect, I had a testimony that could stand. But it taught me just how vile a thing hypocrisy is. How hurtful a thing hypocrisy is. And that's why Paul goes on in verse 24 to talk about the iniquitous influence that these people have who pervert the privileges of the gospel, who present themselves as Christians, while all the time they are not Christians at all. Those are the products of such perversion.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.